Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bringing you the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty. This is episode 22-27, the 27th episode of 2022. The year is winding down. Christmas brain is here for everyone. Well, maybe not everyone, but most people. This is my least favorite time of year and my most favorite time of year. It's kind of weird. My least favorite time of year because you've got these morons out and it's like they've turned the dial back on their brain function 50%, which is already, I mean, imagine if it's already running at 60% and they, you know what I'm saying? So, but you get behind these people on the wheel and then you add in the phones and the texting while driving and I just can't stand it. Can't stand it, but it starts the day after Thanksgiving, and I've already seen it. And it's going to get worse, so just buckle up and get ready, because the bad drivers, the morons, and everything else are out in force now. Didn't get a chance to make a show the last couple weeks, just kept, and frankly, you know, I was going to talk about election stuff and things everyone else was talking about, and I'm just fed up with it. I'm fed up with the stupid Americans and the stupid things that we say. Instead of, you know, getting ready and doing patriot stuff, it's, you know, well, you know, this is democracy and blah, blah, blah. The same old stuff. Same old stuff. Now, look, when was the last time? Can you point to an instance where Banana Republic activity was taking place in an election place? Let's say Georgia, or, you know, back in the day, Florida dialed it in this time. But there have been many times where you're just watching it going, what the heck is going on? Arizona, I believe, is still not fully done with their count. So you've got all this stuff going on. When was the last time it benefited a Republican? I'll wait. I would be waiting till I was dead, because the answer is never. It never benefits a Republican. It always benefits a Democrat. That's just funny coincidence. It's the lords of protecting democracy are here to save us with their U-Haul full of ballots. Give me a break. We can know instantly around the world when a sporting event is done. We can know, for crying out loud, in Iraq within a day when the election is complete and done. No questions. Simple. We can know these things, but yet here in America, we can't. So Florida is a great example of a place that has fixed their election problems and the fraud and the ability of the fraud machine, because this is automated. It's a completely automated machine. It's not like they send, well, some places they do, but it's, for the most part, it's not where they send teams of fraudsters in to do what fraudsters do, you know, bring in U-Haul trucks full of ballots. I mean, that's a... not an anomaly, but it is just all automated. It's pretty much dialed in to the point where, you know, nobody can catch these people. How is that? Well, it's because the crooked FBI is part of this. They're not going to investigate. A lot of crooked secretaries of state, which George Soros helped put in there in every state. A lot of crooked attorneys generals. It's just a big list of crookedness. And it's a coordinated effort. And the only way to fix it is to get rid of things like automatic absentee ballots, vote by mail. Vote by mail. Everyone's talking about this. You'll hear this all the time. So listen to it next time you're listening to talk radio. You know, you got the Hannity, you know, talking about we need to, you know, get our vote by mail game in. Yeah, tell that to Colorado. Colorado tried that. Colorado tried to dial in their vote by mail. And guess what? Colorado is forever blue. I don't know that a Republican can win anywhere there. So just keep that in mind. I mean, they're talking about, well, we need to get our ground game on for this vote by mail because that's the way it is now. No, it's not the way it is. Doesn't need to be that way. You need to get rid of that junk. That is how they're cheating. Those are one of the large parts of how they're cheating. Another way is, you know, bad voter rolls. We got dead people on the voter rolls. We got criminals, felons that are voting. And instead of actually prosecuting people for this fraud, which we can't seem to get done, what we can do is remove these people that don't belong from the voter rolls. So that's one thing. But ultimately, it's just a massive cheating operation that we're dealing with, and we have to find a way to combat that and stop that. And here's an example of how I know Republicans actually did have a red wave, but the vote machine, the vote fraud machine, stifled it. Is that you have places up in New York City, in different parts of New York that aren't conservative strongholds, where the Latinos and the black vote and every other minority was voting Republican in much larger numbers. And, they didn't turn on the fraud machine up there because they didn't think they needed to. Why bother? It's so many, we've got this in the bag. Well, but they didn't. That's another thing, just another, proof that we won this thing. Florida's another example. Creamed the Democrats, just a bloodbath at the election polls. And yet, lots of other places, it wasn't this way. There were a few other states that it was good, and overall, not. We did take the House, that is for sure, but I think we would have took it by a whole lot more if there wasn't the vote fraud machine. Virginia, Spanberger, give me a break. There's no way you can convince me with all, there was all kinds of shady stuff going on in that race. And that she won? Oh, okay. Against Nick Freitas before? Okay, sure. That's the problem. Here's the thing. We have four boxes that preserve liberty. I've talked about these many times. You have the ballot box, the soap box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. Well, we have a society of morons, so I'm not sure how much the jury box applies, but let's pretend we still have it. We don't have the soapbox anymore because of the way they manipulate media and the way they manipulate social media. Yeah, you can get up and speak on a street corner, but everyone just thinks you're crazy because, they don't have more than 60 seconds to pay attention to what you're saying before they're on to the next, swiping up and down and looking at different things. So they're not interested in that. You sure don't have the ballot box if you're stealing elections. And everyone knows it. Everyone looks at this and goes, these elections are fraudulent. Except for people that don't want to be called election deniers, which is most of the talk show radio host guys. And they're like, well, now you just got to work harder. Oh, okay. That's the vote harder. That's the solution. Vote hard. Vote more. That's what we need to do. We need to vote more. That'll solve everything. That'll solve everything. We just need to vote more. No, I'm afraid that the cartridge box is the only box left, and that's the problem when you cheat at elections. What the left is saying to you is the only thing left to you is to either shut up and be communist or kid up and go. And I guess enough people are cool with the shut up and be communist because no one's kidding up and going, except the leftists. You've seen all these shootings happening again, shootings and shootings and shootings upon shootings. All by leftists. No, not all. I don't know for sure. But I do know that somebody who's a trans activist who shoots up a trans nightclub, pretty sure that's not a Republican. And I guarantee you again, if you were to look at any of these people, they didn't go to private or homeschool. Sorry, they didn't. They are products of the government schools. And I'll tell you, it makes me just want to carry more everywhere I go. But back to the election thing. What's left? Vote more? Vote more is the solution, apparently. According to the talk show radio hosts, according to social media, we just need to vote more. That'll solve everything. We need to vote more because that'll keep people, like this guy, out of office.
What's the song that is played where everybody is on the chair, everybody at the, going to My mind's going blank now.
What's happening?
What, I can't remember.
I'm gonna lose track.
My mind's going blank now.
What are you talking about?
What the hell's going on here?
Where the hell are we?
My mind's going blank now.
I can't remember.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
What am I doing here?
My mind's going blank now.
Where am I headed?
I keep forgetting I'm present.
Where am I?
No idea.
Last night I was on television. I was on a telephone.
Rapidly rising with
I don't know.
COVID has taken more than 100 years.
Look,
here's lives
reflected in the A-A-N-H-E-I-I-I-I-I.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word.
I was in the first inning of Brigham City's Yogi Dot Gaines
of Poons Kotak.
Yeah, because that guy got more votes than Donald Trump, for sure, right? The guy who literally is the picture of dementia. My 95-year-old grandfather is more mentally coherent than that guy, or at least the same. And he at least has an excuse. He's 95. But he's still up and around. He's still doing stuff. Not as quick in the head to, think about stuff and process things, but still there. Whole lot more there than that guy. And you're not going to convince me, you're not going to convince anyone else that is thinking at all that guy got more votes than the other guy. There's no way. There are some things that we need to talk about in regards to demographic shifts. With all these people moving out of certain states into other states, moving from the north to the south, the what do they call it? The exodus of conservatives from places like New York and Massachusetts and others. But see, I don't think that in those cases, the extreme left had total control in a lot of ways, like California. So they're saying, well, what it's going to do is mess up the balance of the Electoral College. Oh, okay, whatever. It doesn't matter because the elections are being stolen. So it doesn't really matter unless you can fix this. There's still a race coming up in Georgia, which could determine the balance of power in the Senate. Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker's the conservative. But we'll see if they can steal that one too. Georgia's different. It doesn't just have a, simple majority. It's got this weird, majority plus one thing. I don't remember what it's called, but it doesn't really matter. I don't live in Georgia. But that race is going to be important, and the Democrats are pulling in all of the vote cheat consultants to come on down to Georgia and figure it out, boys. So we'll see how that goes. That's coming up here. And we have another dementia patient, a guy who had a stroke, supposedly won in Pennsylvania, supposedly. I mean, they declared him the winner. Okay. I wasn't you're never a huge fan of Dr. Oz, but he was a well-spoken, articulate person who could communicate. Going up against a guy who wasn't playing or firing on all cylinders. So we have that going on, and that race is done. And the Republican lost that one. I put that in quotes, lost that one, to a guy who has less mental faculty than Joe Biden. So now we got two bumblers up there, one in the Senate and one in the White House. I'm sure we'll have more to come. So that's the thing. Democrats don't need any leadership. The Democrats don't need any people who can run races and can do things because, why? Because they just cheat. Doesn't matter. You put Satan with horns, a tail, and a pitchfork on the Democrat ballot, and he would win. Well, he might win for other reasons. He might legitimately win just because of the American people seem to be hell-bent, pun intended, to go down a certain path. But I think you get my point. I'll use another illustration, a turd sandwich, a literal sandwich full of poo you could put up on the ballot with a D next to his name. And it's probably going to win if we don't solve the cheating problem. So I'll move on from there. But that's the gist of this election. It's a scam. Everyone knows it's a scam. And here we are. Just keep listening to all the pundits, the Hannitys and others talk about how we just need to, you know, vote harder. Work harder. That's the solution to everything. Just work harder. Okay. If you are on a stacked, if you're the deck is stacked against you, you can work as hard as you want. You can cheat even, and you're still going to lose. The deck is stacked. So we'll see. But in any case, hope you had a good Thanksgiving and enjoyed time with your family. You know, one thing I've noticed now that I have teenagers, the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, they're just not as fun. You know, there was a wonder, a sense of wonder when the kids were little, an excitement that they got to go see relatives that they hadn't seen in a while, and excitement that, you know, there's presents and things and Santa Claus and all this. And now that they're older, it's just not the same. It's still fun. It's still nice to get together with family. But I miss, if you got little kids, what I'm trying to say here is if you got little kids, you really take those little mental snapshots in your head. I always used to do this and just sit there and watch and enjoy the time when they were little, because I knew it wouldn't last, and it didn't. And now they're teenagers, and new things are coming, and new things are happening, and changes in the dynamic of fathers and sons and stuff like that. But it's just fun time of year to have little kids, you know, not teenagers. Teenagers are different. And one thing that's neat about having teenagers, you can have these adult conversations with teenagers that I couldn't have with my younger kids, although we did have deeper conversations with my little kids, but not adult conversations. And so that's kind of cool. But they're not little, and they're not full of that sense of wonder. And then we've got what you're going to deal with and what I'm dealing with this generation, which is different than the millennials. They're calling it, I think, Gen Z. They're different. I think in a better way, but we'll see what we're going to end up with this crew. It's hard to know what they're thinking. That's the thing that I notice when I'm looking at my kid watching a YouTube video or something and just watching him and trying to understand what is the thought process going through his head right now. It just seemed like it was easier to know what other generations were thinking. So I don't know. But we'll see what happens. I'd like to thank Hopkins Real Estate for sponsoring this segment of the show. You can find them at adamhopkins.net. And if you're in the Forest area, kind of within probably 30 miles around that, Forest, Lynchburg, Campbell, get in touch with Adam and his team of great real estate agents to take care of you. One thing I've seen lately is there's just a lack of people that care about the work that they do. And I know that Adam and his team care. They care about their clients. They care about doing the job right. And so you can find out more at adamhopkins.net, HOPKINS.net. Next up is a clip, a compilation of news people all saying the same thing. Check it out.
Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubled news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 You know, back to the election thing, I wish I could say that people didn't get their news from stuff like this, but they do. And this was not from this last election. Although, I bet that's what you were thinking. This was from 4 years ago. And somebody clipped all this together. I'll try and put the link in the show notes at radiofreevirginia.com so you can share it around. But this is terrifying. Because this is how that little red phone that they pick up and they all say the same things, this is how that happens. One media conglomerate owns all of these stations and they send out these talking points and then they're too stupid to actually change them at all. They're word for word the same. It probably says, insert your city here, and then they say these things. And this is a deep conversation we're having with our local people, friends. We want to talk about something very serious here, threats to our democracy. Well, first of all, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. I mean, they may have illegally turned it into components of a democracy, but we don't live in a democracy. So I'm okay with it being threatened because that's not what we have. We have a democratic republic. Now, with the 17th Amendment, they've kind of torpedoed some of that. But overall, we have a constitutional republic that is guaranteed rights are given to us by God in a document called the Constitution. It has a Bill of Rights. It has protections for us. And no laws can supersede that, the lesser magistrate kind of concept. And no laws that are not expressly spelled out in that Constitution can the federal government have, which they've got lots of that they don't actually have. But this kind of all talking in one voice, unison, creepy media thing, keep an eye out because you hear these things all the time. You hear the same stuff if you're flipping around the dial or, you know, even on talk radio, they'll be playing a clip and, you know, I'm just yelling at the radio because I'm hearing, it's like Neo looking at the code of the Matrix as he looks around when he figures out that he's the one, you know, he sees the actual code. That's where some of us are. We're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Next, let's take a look at this story, which I don't know. I'm going to read it to you and I'll make some commentary on it, but some of it actually is kind of funny. Some of it is, of course, not. Dominion Energy reportedly cutting off electricity to homes that refused smart meters. Now, smart meters are different than smart thermostats. I hope this gets into what the difference is because I don't really want to get into it. But the smart thermostat inside your house is a device that you can also share access to with the power company if you're a moron, and you can have them adjust your thermostat for you in times of peak demand. I don't know how much or why that the smart meters are such a big deal to some people, but maybe this will get into it. Ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday, Dominion Energy Virginia disconnected electricity, threatened to or forced a smart meter on more than half a dozen households across Virginia. Now, this is written at a website called activistpost.com. According to Virginians for Safe Technology, based in Fredericksburg, households are in Petersburg, Fauquier, Prince William, Fluvanna, Albemarle, Henrico, and Spotsylvania County. Customers swapped out their smart meters for analog meters are now left without electricity. Dominion has crossed the line, Jenny DeMarco, Communications Director of Virginians for Safe Technology, said in a press release. When families taking responsible steps to protect themselves and their children have their power cut off in the middle of November, local police, sheriff's departments are escorting the corporations doing so, and the government and regulatory agencies stand idly by. That's a pretty strong signal that our system is broken. I'm going to have commentary for this in a sec here, because it's just funny to read these statements, because you're thinking, you hear the headline, cutting off electricity to homes that refuse smart meters. And you think, well, that's terrible. Okay, it's not just refuse. These people got the smart meters installed. Then they went and then put a regular analog meter on their house. They don't have, the way it works is, if you're contracting and getting power from the power company, you signed a contract in an agreement that up until the point where it enters your house, and that would be after the meter, everything belongs to them. You don't want the service, you're free to say no. Put up a solar, live off grid, you know, whatever. But, and I don't, I'm not saying that I think that those are necessarily great options. I'm just, you know, it's Dominion Energy is a huge power company in Virginia. Massive. So Milton Williams posted a video on YouTube on November 8th, 2022 about letters from Dominion threatening to shut off electricity if he did not install the smart meter in his home. Electricity was shut off November 10th and remains off. Yeah, that would suck. According to the press release, the Virginia State Corporation Commission approved the statewide installation of smart meters in January 2022 as part of the Grid Transformation Plan. I'm really hoping they talk about the difference between a smart meter and an analog meter. Dominion upgraded my new house to a smart meter without my knowledge or consent, Aaron McAfakir said in a press release. This one made me laugh. I have Lyme disease and cannot function with a smart meter in my home, but Dominion wouldn't remove it, so I had it replaced with an analog by a trained professional. I had just gotten home and was recovering from minor cancer surgery when Dominion showed up to cut off my power. I called the police to help me, and instead of checking my welfare, they stood laughing with the Dominion technicians while I cried and was forced to choose between a smart meter and no power. You have Lyme's disease? I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time with this one. If there's somebody listening and that this is a thing, can you send me a message? Go to radiofreevirginia.com. Go to the contact page. But this sounds insane. Insane. Okay, here, maybe this talks about it. The press release stated that the Dominion Energy smart meters can emit radiation bursts up to 190,000 times per day. Radiation, like it's kicking out radioactive radiation. The meters have not been fully tested to determine the public safety. Health effects including ringing in the ears, leg cramps, balance problems, heart and eye issues, fatigue, headaches, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and disorientation. I'm just having a hard time seeing that this is really could possibly be a thing. I mean, okay. But how much of this is, how many people, if you were to install a smart meter in their home, wouldn't even know it? I could have one. I wouldn't even know. I'd have to go look at it. And I'm pretty up on tech, but I mean, I'd have to look, is that a smart meter? Gee, I don't know. Children are the most vulnerable to the radiation exposure because their bodies are still developing and growing. Symptoms include headaches, persistent nosebleeds, fatigue, nausea, dizziness, sleep disruption, ADHD symptoms. Oh, come on. Weakened immune system and abnormal brain development. Oh, you know what else causes those things? I'll bet. Vaccines. And a lot of those parents are vaccinating their kids. Probably from COVID too. Parents must be free to protect their children from this invisible toxin, and an analog meter is a safer solution. Kathy Blum, president of the Virginia Chapter of Children's Health Defense, said in a press release, if children can't be safe in their own home, where can they be? Virginians for Safe Technology radio frequency engineer Mary Bauer said in a press release that the SEC and other state government officials need to better protect the public by authorizing an opt-in to retain our analog meters without cost and support the inevitable transition to a wired Ethernet electric utility meter such as intelligent energy meters. Okay, that's fine. Who's paying for that? I mean, the whole point as I see it, and maybe I'm wrong, if you know more about this, then fine. Message me, share some links and some stories. I would like to see some studies that aren't slanted one way or the other, genuine, you know, scientific studies about these things. However, who's going to pay for this? Are you going to pay, let's say, $100 more a month, or let's say $20 more a month for a person to drive around? Because I think what has essentially happened is my theory on these smart meters is that they're a mesh network that is sending that data with your customer ID and how much power usage you've had, and it's sending it out so that you can that they can see for billing and stuff like that. Instead of having a guy drive around and actually have to be close to the meter, which was probably a thing that everyone's freaking out about, or a guy that had to literally walk from house to house to house and – pull that data, which is what they used to do back in the day. They used to do that with water as well. You know, you'd have the little hatch, the guy would open it up and write it down. And now the new water meters have a little radio transmitter that's sending the information to the guy that just drives around in his truck. And then occasionally one will break, and then they'll have to open it up and fix it. And then that's fixed, and now they're moving on. So I don't know. This thing, I just don't see the world is coming to an end. I just don't see it. I'm sorry, I don't see it. I think that they're doing everything they can to herd us into cities and do horrible things to us as humans. Sure, absolutely. But I don't see this as one of them. And frankly, this whole, I have Lyme's disease, and so this is going to kill me because there's this device on my house. Come on. You know, if you lived out in the country, you could mitigate that by, let's say, putting the meter on the pole and then running the power to the house from the pole. There's ways you could do that. There's lots of ways around it. They cost money. Dominion's already probably twice, if I remember right, what AEP and some of the other carriers are in Virginia. They're very expensive. Who's paying for it? So I don't know where's the bad here? I don't know if it's the bogus article or the people in the industry that are trying to do these to people. And, you know, as far as the cops are coming to help them put smart meters on homes. Yeah, that's because from the sound of it, these people switched their meters back outside of the contract they had with the power company. And there you go. I mean, there's probably other things you could do. You really hate this thing? Jam it. There's probably a whole frequency jammer thing you could build yourself to stick nearby the power meter that would jam the thing. I don't know. You want to screw with them and mess around? Fine. What good is it going to do? There are certain things. It's just like pick your battles. I mean, pick your battles, right? What are you going to do? Just pick them. Next up, I'm going to share from you something from Soviet Life. It's a magazine put out by the Communist Party in Russia, the USSR, back in the day, back in the 80s. I've talked about this before. Picked this up at an antique store, and I just had to have it because there's so much great propaganda in here. It's fun to see, because if I read this to you and you say, wait a minute, that sounds like what they're saying now. That's because communists control lots of stuff. And this one is titled, "And Now It's High Time to Act. For 3.5 decades, humankind has not known worldwide military conflict. This is a great achievement, indeed. It is all the more so since the very moment when an opportunity has appeared to turn this achievement into a permanent process of peaceful coexistence and mutually advantageous cooperation. A serious peril again hangs over the world. At present, nothing is more essential and more important for any nation than to preserve peace and ensure the paramount right of every human being, the right to life," Leonid Brezhnev told the 26th Congress of the CPSU. Numerous congresses, conferences, symposiums, and meetings, including those at the United Nations level, have been held to discuss the issues of peace and disarmament. Dozens of resolutions and declarations have been passed. If just the main ones were carried out, we would not be so anxious about our future. Regretfully, this has not happened, and the gigantic arms race continues to spiral. It is paradoxical indeed. Now, when not only the public at large, but also many political leaders in power realize how disastrous the course leading to a nuclear conflict is, new and more sophisticated means of mass annihilation continue to be developed, thereby increasing the danger of war. He's making the argument that, 3.5 decades have passed. So this was in the 80s. So it'd be the 70s, 60s, 50s. It's technically true. Technically, the world wasn't at war. The world was at this Cold War, which was a proxy war where the U.S. was supporting this group and the USSR was supporting this group. And sometimes, they'd have advisors and fighters and other things. It was this whole proxy thing going on. It was, going back to the 80s, it was Afghanistan, then it was Vietnam, and then it was, places like Grenada and, you know, the El Salvador and, you know, all of these countries, Korea, the Korean War, you know. So, yeah, technically the world, in quotes, wasn't at war, but the world was at war. So, again, not really honest, but what they're doing is, let's see what they're trying to get to with the propaganda here. Indicative in this respect is a statement by UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim. In a report to the General Assembly session, Secretary General Waldheim noted that despite all the conferences and mechanisms, disarmament now seems to be a more distant aim than ever before. And the world still lives under the shadow of nuclear destruction. The disarmament strategy adopted by the special session of the UN General Assembly in May 1978, which could become a milestone to reducing the burden of armaments, has not yet been implemented by essential action. Instead, a further escalation of the arms race continues. The amassing and improvement of weaponry, nuclear weaponry in particular, continues. According to UN statistics, the world's military spending in 1980 exceeded the staggering sum of $500 billion. that would be a lot back then, but that's still a lot today. You know, a billion is 1,000 million. So that's $500,000 million. It's a lot of money. Imagine what you could do to help the world, to help the poor, to help your church with $1 billion, let alone $500 billion. So that is a lot of money. But I think it's funny, and here's where I think this will probably end up going, is the Russians are mad, the Soviets are mad, and they're trying to write this article. It's like, we need to all work together to disarm because we're doing it better than them, because they suck at it in comparison to us. We're better than them, and that's what they're mad about, and they want equality. They want us all be the same, because that's what communism's all about. And so they want us to work on disarming and come up with a plan to, let's all work together to, you know, be less armed up with nuclear missiles and weapons. And if you didn't grow up in the Cold War, it was all these movies, and they were pretty accurate about that. We were on this razor's edge of the world just coming to an end, because all it would take was one side, you know, cracking one off, and then that was it. It would unleash this mess upon the world. And, you know, Reagan stood his ground and actually got the Russians to do a lot of disarmament, but it wasn't the kind that they wanted. So anyway, I continue. It is very important to realize that this danger threatens not just one country or group of countries, but all nations, all countries and continents, and it's growing from year to year. In an extremely important letter to the leaders of the USSR and the U.S., American scientists working in the field of medicine wrote, there can be no winners in a nuclear war. Worldwide fallout would contaminate much of the globe for generations, and atmospheric effects would severely damage all living things. This document, signed by many eminent scientists, should be well known by all. Never before have there been so many people under arms in peacetime as now. Never before has such huge funds been wasted as those now being spent for military purposes. And they more than double every 10 years. Never before have so many hotspots appeared simultaneously in the world, where military conflicts may break out and have already broken out. At present, there are hotspots in the Middle East, Southwest Asia, Persian Gulf, Southeast Asia, Latin America, and Africa. What's so funny about that is they're the ones fomenting that. So they send in communists and fund the communist guerrillas that are trying to stage a coup in a country. We support the legitimate government or the non-communists, or maybe even a dictator, to go up against the communists. And so then there's conflict and war in these regions. But if we had both stayed out of that, none of that would have happened. So it's kind of a ridiculous statement for them to make. The danger is growing due to the fact that now the idea is being pushed on the world public that nuclear war is acceptable, since it allegedly can be of a limited nature, but the logic of nuclear war is inexorable. Should nuclear war break out, it will be impossible to keep it within the narrow framework or limit it in any way. True, very true. It's the one true thing he said. You can't control it. Once it starts, look out. Yeah, it would be very bad for the Earth if we did that. But we're kind of there again, aren't we? I mean, Russia's been rattling its saber talking about, you know, if anyone messes around in Ukraine, now that we've decreed that these areas are ours after we illegally invaded and took over this section of the country, if anyone messes around with us, we'll use nuclear weapons. And everyone's like, what? Why? Because you suck so bad? Because your military is lame? I guess so. Also alarming are statements by some political leaders reiterating again and again that world war is inevitable. These statements, some political leaders, you mean Brezhnev? You mean Russian leaders? Because, yeah, these statements are very dangerous because they are not merely gloomy prophecy. This line prompts definite political and practical conclusions, namely, if war is inevitable, people should resign themselves to this idea, sit idly by, passively watching the dangerous course of events. They actually suggest to the nations the idea that the struggle against the danger of war and against endless arming is senseless and doomed to failure. Again, this is Russia, the Soviet Union, pushing back and saying, you know, we should all just like get along and be friends, because we can be friends, right? All the while building up armaments and munitions, trying to get us to back down. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get us to back down. This is history, so we know it didn't work. We didn't back down. They didn't back down. Eventually, they ran out of money, and they weren't able to fund the military machine. I think they're almost in that same boat right now. They've shot off so much ordnance and so much military hardware has been destroyed over in Ukraine that I think, I shared a Jordan Peterson clip where he was talking about this, thinking that Vladimir Putin's okay with just total scorched earth destruction. If in his mind that's winning, then he's winning. If he's just obliterating Ukraine and just destroying the thing, if that's winning to him, then he can say, I won. See, look what I did. I won. And that's what's happening right now. In contrast to this, we in the Soviet Union and the socialist community as a whole proceed from the idea that world war is not inevitable and can be prevented. We realize, of course, that this is not easy to achieve, and for this to happen, all peace-loving forces should be united. Our viewpoint that war is not inevitable is conducive to the mobilization of the masses in the struggle for the noble goal of ensuring peace on earth and open vistas for the peace-abiding activities of peoples, nations, and governments. Probably no other country has in recent years come up with such a wide spectrum of concrete and realistic initiatives on the key problems of international relations as has the Soviet Union. I love propaganda. It's so ridiculous. I mean, as they say this with a straight face. In his report to the 26th Congress of the CPSU, Leonid Brezhnev put forth a number of new far-reaching initiatives. The new measures we are proposing embrace a wide range of issues, he said. They concern conventional as well as nuclear missile armaments, land forces and naval forces and air forces. They touch on the situation in Europe, in the Near East, the Middle East, and the Far East. They deal with measures of a military as well as political nature. All of them pursue a single aim, our one common aspiration, to do everything possible to relieve the peoples of the danger of nuclear war and to preserve world peace. People are suffering from a policy of mounting war preparations. The arms race results in a reduction of the number of jobs, inflation, increased taxes and prices, the lowering of the real income of the working people, and cuts in funds for social needs. For farmers, it means ruin, widening the discrepancy between prices and a shrinking export market. Now, it's just so interesting, you know, that statement, a shrinking export market, which is what Ukraine's dealing with, where they can't get their stuff out. And then the whole world suffers because of war by the former Soviet Union, Russia. Endless armament enslaves and corrupts intellectuals, makes science and art serve the military industry, and uses many intellectual and cultural pursuits as a means to stupefy people and to make them obedient producers of missiles and robot soldiers. Robot soldiers? I want some, that'd be cool. Let's get some robot soldiers. The arms buildup consumes huge resources that could be used to eliminate famine, infectious disease, and illiteracy. At present, millions of people in the world go hungry and suffer from ailments caused by protein deficiency. This, in particular, is true of children. Just think, 15 million children under the age of 5 die mainly from famine or malnutrition annually. Yet most healthcare and food problems could be solved by using the money that now goes into the arms race. Yeah, you Americans spending $500 billion on, you know, the arms race. It's all your fault. And then you start seeing protests from the American communist groups that are against war because it causes starvation. It causes this famine and malnutrition. Military preparations are already a source of great and perhaps irreparable damage to the natural environment of our common house, the Earth. But we cannot hope to protect it effectively and comprehensively without terminating the arms race, without preserving and advancing détente, without promoting equal cooperation among nations. And détente in the Cold War was, I'm reading a definition here from Merriam-Webster. Détente was a period in which the Cold War tensions eased between the Soviet Union and the United States from the late 60s to 1979. Détente was characterized by warm personal relationships between U.S. President Nixon and Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev. Until Reagan came along and like started slapping him in the face with it and beat the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union would probably still be around if it wasn't for Reagan. The existing situation is very alarming, but nonetheless, it differs fundamentally in many respects from the situation on the eve of the First and Second World Wars. First in quality and in quantity, weapons of mass annihilation have reached such a level that a world war as a means to achieve political aims has become useless. This is also realized by many responsible political leaders in the West who understand the need to preserve détente as opposed to the policy of confrontation. That's Reagan's policy. Second, realizing this, millions of people are joining an active struggle against the danger of war. Among them are workers and farmers, believers and non-believers, politicians and business executives. And third, the policy of peace and détente has by now accumulated such a great potential, proved its advantages, a mutually beneficial character, and struck such deep roots that the forces of war find it hard to derail it. You remember I Led Three Lives and some of the talking little committees that they would put together where they would write talking points and do these things. This is what this sounds like. A bunch of them in America got together. What do you think the Americans would like to hear? Let's your Dutch such deep roots that forces of war find it hard to derail it. Let's say something like that. As for the Soviet Union, I would like to recall the remarkable words of Leonid Brezhnev. For ages, humanity, in seeking to ensure security, was guided by the formula, if you want peace, prepare for war. Sound familiar? Si vis pacem, para bellum. It's Latin, and you may recognize that from lots of things, but lately, John Wick. I'd like to thank Acticare of the Blue Ridge for sponsoring this show. Acticare is in-home senior care for your senior loved one when you can't be there. If you're in Lynchburg, Campbell, Bedford, Smith Mountain Lake, out in the country, get in touch with them, and they will take good care of you and your family. acticare.com/blue-ridge. In this nuclear age of ours, this formula is particularly dangerous. Being well aware of it, we have said and say again, if you want peace, follow the policy of peace. Struggle for the policy of peace. This policy corresponds to the aspirations of the Soviet people and enjoys their complete and unreserved support. It is firm and stable and not affected by the considerations of the moment that are caused by certain internal or external circumstances. With us, foreign policy issues cannot be manipulated for opportunistic reasons or subordinated to the personal ambitions of individual political leaders. Reagan. A passionate call to uphold peace, avert nuclear conflagration, and curb the senseless but extremely dangerous arms race has again resounded from the rostrum of the 26th Congress of the CPSU. We do not threaten anyone, not the United States, China, Japan, or Western Europe, or any country or region. We make no territorial claims on anyone. While some countries, as is well known, lay claims to our territory, our military capability is sufficiently great, but its only purpose is to protect the security of our country and give firm and resolute rebuff to any attempts to disturb the peaceful life of the Soviet people and their allies. Let us put in question, frankly, bluntly, what does the Soviet Union need war for? And who and in what way would benefit in our country from war or preparations for it? Saying that, you know, the war machine is all state property and the factories are all state property, so that, you know, there's nobody there that's benefiting. But what they're saying is who in the United States would benefit from that? The war machine, global industrial complex, the military industrial complex. The Soviet Union is a large country possessing all the necessary natural resources to satisfy the material and cultural requirements of its population and to advance economically. We are not seeking raw material resources in other countries. A considerable part of our vast territory, where there are rich reserves of oil, gas, metals, and various minerals, is still being developed. Those who have visited the Soviet Union could see for themselves that our country is a huge construction site. All the activity of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union and the Soviet state is keynoted by the spirit of creative endeavor. Surely, we did all in our power to build up advanced industry and raise towns from ruins after World War II. And we are now building new towns and enterprises, cultural and scientific centers, not to have them destroyed. The 26th CPSU Congress has mapped out a new program for the economic and social development of our country in the year 1990. A characteristic feature of these programs is that they are meant to realize in peacetime that they envisage peaceful cooperation with all countries. It is sometimes claimed that the threat of military expansion stems from our revolutionary ideology, our adherence to the cause of social and national liberation of nations. Those who say so do not know the very basics of Marxist-Leninist teaching or the history of our party. But may I remind you that the Soviet Communist Party has always rejected the concept of the export of revolution and still rejects it. What a lie! That's an outright lie! Oh my gosh, let me read that again. But may I remind you that the Soviet Communist Party has always rejected the concept of the export of revolution and still rejects it. Not true. It goes without saying that the Soviet Union does not seek a monopoly in solving the issue of war and peace. It believes that they cannot be solved singularly or by uncoordinated efforts of individual states. This was once more stressed by our party's Congress. Attention should be paid to the following fact. The arms race and other military preparations, the Cold War and the anti-détente policy are not spontaneous phenomena similar to natural phenomena like earthquakes or hurricanes, which do not depend on people's wills. Armaments are growing and the number of bases is increasing due to the actions and initiatives of particular people and groups of people. Those Republicans and that Ronald Reagan. Gosh. And now it's time to act. People are manifesting their will for peace, and governments are obligated to implement this will to prevent the world from sliding into the abyss, to put an end to the arms buildup, and to preserve the relaxation of tensions as a predominant trend in relations between states. We are convinced that this aim can be achieved. Well, there you have it. I guess Reagan was wrong, and it was just... those just Russians were just trying to get along with everybody. We didn't want to keep building bombs and stuff, but you kept building bombs, so we built bombs. We didn't want to sell guns to revolutionary the workers in El Salvador and other countries. So, but you were. That's what you were doing. Yeah. Yeah, you were doing that. And so we wanted to, let's see. What do I say now? I mean, this is just so, this is a gold mine of propaganda, this thing. I mean, gee whiz, it's good stuff. And you look back at it through the lens of history and the things that we've seen up until this point, it's pretty remarkable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. I still have contacts. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. Lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, determined, an international criminal conspiracy. This is the true nature of the enemy. This is communism.
This clip made me laugh, but now that I've pulled it together, it makes me think of Russia. And I don't know why, but it makes me think of a little bit of this article. And so Russia is Jan, and the United States is Marcia.
But every time Marcia turns around, they hand her a blue ribbon or something.
Oh, now, Jan, you know that isn't so. Marcia's worked very hard for those things.
Well, all I hear all day long at school is how great Marcia is at this, or how wonderful Marcia did that. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia!
Now, sweetheart.
All those awards staring me in the face was just too much. I'm tired of being Marcia's shadow all the time.
Now, Jan, you're not in anybody's shadow. Well, Marcia's 3 years older than you. She should have more to show for herself.
Maybe, but everything comes so easy for her.
Oh, Jan, come on. You have to be realistic about this. Nobody has smooth sailing all the time.
Well, that's right. Marcia has her disappointments, too. She doesn't always win.
You'll never guess what. I just got a call from the school. I've been made editor of the school newspaper.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Somebody should remake that video with that. That would be pretty funny. Russia, Russia, Russia. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up there. I'd like to thank you for listening. Remember, you were not made to fit in. You were born to stand out. If you want to have peace, prepare for war. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.